And here we are. We're already into 2025, a brand new year, and you may be ready for change. Perhaps you've started looking for a new job. Well, when all goes well and you're invited to that big interview, it's important to know how to kick it out of the park and really stand out as a candidate and as a person. Well, great news. That's our topic today. How do you master that interview? This is About Townshippers. Let's jump in. Well, welcome to About Townshippers. My name is Ed Humphrey, and thanks for tuning in to our weekly show where, from one episode to the next, we like to highlight the services, the programs, and the events that are important to English speakers living throughout the Estrie region of Quebec. Now, each week, we help you discover people and organizations that are making a difference in arts and culture, health and social services, tourism, education, employment, and a whole lot more. I mention it often, and I know that you know how important this is. When we live in a minority language community, finding the services and the connections we need, well, that all makes a huge difference in our professional and in our personal success. That's why until June, we're bringing you monthly episodes on employment, preparing for it, finding it, and maintaining it. And Eastern Township's Adult General Education, or ETAJ, offers educational and employment services that you can access in person or online. Programs vary from high school courses to employment counseling, language courses, social integration services, semi-skilled workplace preparation, community projects, and a whole bunch more. That's a long list. Now, as part of our ongoing series on ETAJ Employment Services, today we're going to be talking about the best practices and tools that you can use to prepare for and to succeed at your next job interview. Gwen Gavin-Goujon is a teacher in the English Conversation and SVI departments, and Jessica Girard is a guidance counselor at JobLinks Employment Services, and all that is part of ETAJ. And Gwen and Jessica, welcome back to the show.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And there they are. You guys are getting pretty good at this. Jessica, we've sat at the interview table many times over the last couple of years. Gwen, you've been here a couple of times as well, so you guys keep me in check, eh, if I screw up or... Hey, Jessica, let's start with you. The employment sector has been going through, you know, tons of changes in the last 5 or 6 years. So now as we're into, you know, 2025, how important are interviews? Are they still a thing?
Yeah, interviews are more and more important, actually. And they've changed a lot, I would say, in the past few years. Some of these changes include the fact that we put more and more importance on online presence. So, for example, headhunters using LinkedIn, for example, to recruit potential candidates, or even screening candidates using social media. Another thing that we see right now is more and more of, I would say, are one-way interviews. So using certain software to have clients answer predetermined questions, it helps save time, but also it helps avoid any scheduling conflicts, and it allows recruiters to reach out to a larger pool of potential candidates rather than just the local candidates. Another thing that we see is more and more importance on company culture, value, and the life-work balance view that they may have, as well as how well a candidate could fit within a team. Another thing is the fact that we put more emphasis on soft skills than we once did. The fact that we also, that we put more emphasis on testing for skills that may be relevant for the position. Finally, there seems to be more emphasis put on behavioral questions. For example, how would a candidate react in this or this situation, rather than the standard questions that we may have had, such as, talk to me about your past relevant experience.
Just off the top of your head, what would be some soft skills that would be worth developing?
I think it depends on the position, but it could be, for example, problem solving, critical thinking, just your work ethic.
Human related things.
Yeah, exactly. And it really depends on the position, I would say. Some may be more relevant than others.
And another thing you mentioned was the filter through social media. Does that mean that employers would be going through, say, if I'm applying for a job, they'd be going kind of through my Facebook posts and my Instagram and trying to see what I'm portraying as an individual, or as far as my values are concerned?
They may, yeah, exactly. Depending on the employer, depending on the recruiter, they may go through your social media profiles and look and see what type of person you may be based off what they're seeing. And is it going to be a good fit for their culture? Are your values aligning with their own from what they're seeing, you know, on social media, of course.
Wow. We'll talk about that probably a bit later. We're going to expand on that. Hey, Gwen, over to you now. Doing interviews, it's a big thing. It can be a nerve-wracking experience. You know, it's quite often the first time that we meet an employer, whether it's in person or virtual. So what would you say are the biggest challenges when candidates are meeting their employers for the first time in an interview?
The biggest challenge that I see with most of my individuals that I talk with is their potential to really shine. So often we're going to see individuals, whether it's online or virtual, that lack that confidence in the preparation of their interview, in communicating during the interview, and the ability to adapt during. So all of these things really make them nervous. So if you're nervous, you have those butterflies, that uneasy feeling during the interview. Tip, prepare. I know we're going to say this a lot during the interview, but it's because it has a lot of value. And if you have a nervous tick, if you're doing something, you're biting your nails, clipping your pen, scrunch your toes. They don't see that. So that's great. Oh, whether you're
scrunch your toes.
Yes. So if you're nervous, they can't see that you're scrunching your toes, whether you're online or in person, you're good. So scrunching your toes, taking a deep breath, and sometimes just focusing. So maybe not like staring them death stare at the interviewee, but it's focusing on a point in the room just to take that moment. When you're having trouble during your interview to articulate your experiences and you're like, oh, what did I do? I'm having trouble showcasing my abilities. Use the STAR principle. State a situation, the task that you did, and the actions you took to resolve it, and the result. So that allows you to really be short and concise about what you're talking about and answering the specific question so you're not rambling off on something else and really focused. They're going to ask you for your strengths and weaknesses in the interview. Don't list all kinds. Focus on two or three that you are able to flip those negatives into a positives by saying, hey, I have this little trouble, but I'm working on it by doing this. And this is how it's going to affect your company because I'm working on it. Use the company's website. Search. Get to know the company. They're going to research you. Might as well take the advantage and research them before you apply or have your interview. Prepare, prepare, prepare. They are really key elements that allow you to overcome the challenges of an interview. It takes time for a candidate to be ready, but really you want to showcase your role in that company and show how unique you are, and that doesn't come on the fly. So take that moment and really focus on you.
When you think about it, there's a few things in life that are pretty stressful. There's new relationships, moving, and getting a new job. And that whole process involved getting a new job is rated among one of the most stressful things we can go through. So it really sounds like being prepared is really important and being able to put things in place to calm yourself down before and during the interview. So breathing and I guess scrunching the toes you mentioned, that's kind of to get rid of that kinetic energy, I guess, to release that energy.
Exactly.
And just being prepared. When you're prepared and you're calm, you can just put your best foot forward.
And that's what you want. You want to put your best foot forward because it's a change in your life, as you mentioned, and that allows for your growth to happen. So nothing comes without fear. So jump in and just be prepared.
I know it may depend on the age group because, you know, people are looking for work at all ages, you know, now. And do you think that generally job seekers take their first employee candidate encounter, you know, like the first interview, do they take it seriously?
In general, from what I've seen, is that there's three types of individuals when they prepare for that interview. There's the serious individuals. They're in it to win it. They're prepared. They've dressed to impress. They know their goals. They're making a good impression. You have the laid-back individuals who underestimate the importance of that first encounter and often fail to research the company, let alone the job that they're applying for, and they just hope and want that job. And then you have the person that's in the middle. They've done a little bit of research. At that moment, they're so stressed that they wish they prepared more, but they did everything they could. And in-depth knowing that they can do it, but they're just hoping. They're like, please hire me. So those are the three individuals we see. And often, depending on where you fall, some take it very seriously, some don't. But I think we need to really switch that mindset and that it always should be serious because it's a big event in your life. And it's what shows that you're winning and you're moving forward and you're putting your best foot forward.
Oh, such an important step. I've had some great interviews. I've had some bad interviews. Really quickly, I remember one time I was in an interview for a tourism-related job, and I'd be working with the public on a train, a national train company. I won't tell you which one. and they asked me, have you ever had any conflict with, you know, with customers in a customer service provider type of situation? And I was young and naive. Oh, yeah, I remember this one time when, and I just got into it. Yeah, and
you overshared.
I think I overshared a bit, and that did not go well. Hey, there's a lot of untruths surrounding job interviews. There's a lot of myths still out there. So, Jessica, am I mistaken? Are there still some myths that surround the whole interview process?
Of course, there are several myths out there regarding the interviews. I'm just going to name a few. And I'm just going to bring a little bit of information for each. I think it'll be a nice way to do it. So one of the myths is that the most qualified candidate will land the role. Not necessarily. The interviews may be asking themselves if they'll get along with you and if you'll be a good fit for their team. So not necessarily just a question of qualification. You have to be qualified, but there is that, you know, that personal aspect that is important. Another one is that there's no such thing as over-preparation. So we talked about preparation. Preparation is really important, but you don't want to overdo it to the point that when you do answer questions, it comes off as rigid or you may be inflexible with your answers. So you kind of have to be careful with that. Find the sweet spot, I would say. Another myth is that the interview is a pop quiz and there's only one right answer to most questions. I would view it more of it as a conversation. Employers like to see how you think. So it's important to really see it more as a conversation, not just a pop quiz, essentially. Another myth is that you will be asked to do the job on day one. Yes, you should be qualified, like I said, but there's often a gap between what the interviewer wants and what they must have. So even if you lack certain skills, it's not going to ruin your chances necessarily of getting the position. And the final one is that following up after the interview signals desperation, actually can signal interest. It allows you to stand out as a candidate, among other things.
And when we follow up after an interview, we may get a bit more into this later on, but I remember sending thank you cards in the mail to the employer. Thank you very much for your time. Great to meet you. If you have any questions, I'd be free to talk to you again. But does an email with that information, is it still as worthy as the old letter or thank you card that we would send out?
The card is more formal, but it's okay to send an email. It's okay to contact the person via, and I'll mention later on, but it's okay to contact the person via the medium they use to contact you. So it's okay to send that different ways, essentially.
Probably a carrier pigeon wouldn't work. That would probably be an inappropriate
way. might be more difficult.
Hey, Gwen, are there fundamental differences because here we're talking about in-person and virtual interviews. In the beginning of the show, Jessica talked about how interviews have been changing, and there's always that technological aspect to it. So are there any real differences between how we would do an in-person interview to how we would do a virtual interview? And you can touch on anything. I mean, whether there's differences in dress code or the length of the interviews, whether there's different etiquette. What do you think?
Yes, there are key differences between the in-person and the virtual interviews, even though they share that same goal of assessing the candidate's suitability for the company. Before we talk about the differences, let's talk quickly about the similarities because those are important also. So key similarities being present, they present the same level of professionalism and in-depth questioning. So virtual or in person, you're still going to be giving the same in-depth question answers. Both, you need to research the company, review the job description, rehearse your answers to those wonderful common interview questions that you can find online by just Googling the job you're applying to and interview questions. They will pop up. I know you mentioned thank you notes. Yes, you should still send a thank you note, whether it's in person or a virtual interview. They gave you time. You want to give yourself that little opportunity to be a little bit higher. So thanking them for that time is really good. The differences, there are huge differences. So dress code, in person, dress professionally, head to toe. They're observing you. So spend some time on yourself before the interview. Look sharp, well-groomed, whether you're a man or a female. Look your part for this interview. However, online, I still suggest to dress professionally, but the main focus is above your head, right? It's like that head focus. But just in case you have to get up, please wear pants. It's important.
We learned that during COVID, didn't we?
Exactly. And the way you dress really does put you in the mood for what you're going to face. So look your part and then feel it. The length. So in person, the interviews are often a little bit longer because there's that informal, casual interaction. Hi, how are you doing? Small talk. And sometimes you can even tour the facility that you're applying to if you kind of give that great interview. We're virtual, they're short, they're to the point, and they still lack that organic flow. We're working really hard on that organic flow in virtual interviews, but really we're going to focus on answering the questions, less emphasis on the casual conversations, but really focused on what you're doing. The interaction. So body language is important online or in person, but virtual, the emphasis is your face. So facial expressions, your voice, your tone are really going to stand out in the camera. But in person, you're going to focus on that eye contact, the good handshake, the posture that kind of is open, not closed in, because you have to show engagement. Etiquette. We forget about this, but it's super important. In person, arrive 10 to 15 minutes early. Turn off your devices. I know we're glued to them, but turn it off. It's your time to shine in the interview. Your first impression counts. For virtual, you're going to show up online for this meeting 2 to 3 minutes early. Test your microphone and everything before. Test it out. Make sure there's no clutter in your background or put up a background, kind of those wonderful backgrounds. That way it does not show your room or where you're doing this interview from. And also mute your microphone when you're not speaking. It avoids that interruption that can happen. So all in all, there are differences, but there's a lot of similarities also. Focus on giving your best, listen to yourself, and do the best you can.
That's a long list of stuff to do. And I guess we don't have to master that all right away, right? We start with one thing, good at that, we do another thing. And that's fascinating how the technological advances are facilitating things, but also making them a bit more...
challenging?
We have to be on our toes, right? Hey, we're going to continue right now with a bit of a musical break. This is Sale Barbe with Gin à l'eau salée. Que j'avais baptisé mon gin à l'eau salée. Longtemps. Que j'avais pas dansé avec toi, bébé. Que
rien en Acadie. J'en parquais dans le champ et j'ai roulé toute la nuit. J'ai broyé, broyé comme un mot quand ça jouait du sur-wow à la radio. Un bon moment d'histoire dans les Maritimes. Tout le monde est paré pour la Wine Time. Il y avait longtemps que j'avais baptisé mon gin à l'eau salée. Les pieds dans l'eau. Et toi, puis moi, puis les étoiles. C'est tout simplement pour se trouver beau. Chérie, baby, chérie, laisse-moi pas tout seul à soi. Parce que chérie, baby, chérie, je fends le chalawa. Chérie, baby, chérie, laisse-moi pas tout seul à soi.
Are you an English speaker looking for information on the services, events, and activities available to you in the Eastern Townships? Perhaps you're looking for some helpful hacks to simplify your life and stay healthy. Or maybe you want to stay up to date on policy and legislation that affects you and your community. If so, Townshippers Association can help. You see, we've been supporting the English-speaking community since 1979. So contact us at our Knowlton office at 450-242-4421 or visit our website at townshippers.org. You can find us on Facebook or you can check out our About Townshippers video series on the Townshippers Association's YouTube channel. And of course, you can listen to the radio edition of About Townshippers on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. right here on CIDI 99.1 FM.
Happy, but I fall apart, and I wonder why you chose me to write off in your story. You can give her all the credit cards, fast cars, pay her bills at the bar. Get you. Diving into the unknown.
forget you. Got myself a steady job, a heart of gold no one can rob, and still I'm no fit for your story. Gave you space, too much I guess. Saw you moving on to the next one who won't fit in your story. Oh, who's gonna fit in your story? You can give her all the credit cards, fast cars, pay her bills at the bar. You can find her friends outside, low tide, kissing strangers in the dark. You can go out of your way to steal the stars for her. Tomorrow, oh no, you know by tomorrow, you know by tomorrow, you know she'll forget.
Welcome back to About Townshipers on CIDI 99.1 FM and on CGMQ 88.9 FM. That was Gin à l'eau salée by Sal Barbe, followed by Lasso the Moon by Sarah Vanderzon. And if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that she's one of my favorite artists here in Quebec. And she played at the Townshipers Festival, and it was a great show. So that's Sarah Vanderzon, Lasso the Moon. And today we're talking about mastering job interviews. Gwen Galvin-Goujon and Jessica Girard are with us to talk about the importance that interviews or doing good interviews can play in your success as an employee and a future candidate. When it comes to interviews, though, what support do Job Links and the My Job, My Career, My Future program offer?
So the SVI, the My Job, My Career, My Future, can offer you help by registering to our program. Once registered, we create an individual plan that helps you get onto the job market. But at the same time, we're building those soft skills, as Jessica mentioned earlier in the interview, that are needed for you to keep the job. We want you to flourish on the industry. What does that mean? We have the opportunity to have a classroom so you can come into a classroom, chit-chat with others, and really build those skills needed. And then we can create individual meeting time where we work on your CV, we practice interviews, and we really learn about the profession that you're trying to get into. In order for you to flourish, as I mentioned earlier, and grow into that ripe, beautiful flower that you are in the job that comes with you. So, yes, we can help you, but you need to register first.
But it's really interesting to know that there's the classroom support as well, because it becomes a bit of a community approach. You're hearing how other people are going through it, how other people are experiencing their job search. So how much does that play into it, Gwen, those advantages there?
A lot, because the students are able to share, like, hey, I would answer the question for an interview like this. Oh, don't forget this thing. I saw how you're really good at this and you're having trouble kind of showcasing your skills. Try saying this. So they build off each other. They chit chat. And really, as you mentioned, a community gets created.
And then JobLinks can offer various types of support once you've registered with us. So one type of support is the interview preparation. So the pre, the during, and the post. Such as calling potential references, covering interview questions, and then going over thank you letters. Another type of support is mock interviews, so we can go through those. And finally, helping clients navigate salary negotiations, for example.
I don't think a lot of people are really comfortable doing negotiations in any slice of our life. That's a great skill to learn. And the mock interviews, do you actually sit down and pretend that you're doing a full interview? They come in, they shake your hand or do it online. Is it like really the A to Z of an interview?
Yeah, exactly. The A to Z. And I like to record it so people can see themselves and they can see, you know, the nonverbal and they can hear the vocal. They can better adjust their interview skills.
Oh. Those are great tools. You guys do great work. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the air here. I think you guys do really, really good work. Now, when we meet an employer, either in person or virtually, it can be stressful. We did touch on this a bit earlier. And stress and anxiety and nervousness in any part of our life, whether it's during a leisure activity or public speaking, an event, or doing an interview, I tell you, it can really weigh on us. So, Gwen, any suggestions for any other suggestions for reducing or even eliminating those, I guess we could call them the jitters?
those jitters, as you mentioned, are all over, right? And that's the thing that comes with interviews, and it makes it nerve-wracking. But here are some tips. Prepare, as we said. Go over your questions. Write them out. Often we're like, yeah, I've got them. No. Write what you're going to say out. Plan your outfit ahead of time. Know your travel time. Know what time the buses go through if you're using the bus system. If you're driving and the weather is terrible, plan extra time. That plan ahead is very needed. And visualize success. The most beneficial, way to succeed is to visualize yourself in the job that you want. If you're applying for this job, it's because you see yourself there. So visualize yourself on the job. And really, that does boost your confidence. Take those deep breaths. It calms your nervous system. Be prepared with the documents, as Jessica mentioned, the CV, the references. Come with a little portfolio, not your paper all over the place. It'll allow you to reduce your jitters because you'll be holding something. And don't forget, scrunch your toes. Yeah, right. It really can help you. And if you're someone that really wants to reset your nervous system because you're stressed, sour candy. I've done a little bit of research with Jessica, and sour candy can help take away those jitters.
I'm kind of speechless. I have never heard that before. Sour candy? Before you go in the door, right? You don't keep it in your mouth while you're doing the interview.
No. Before you go in.
How does that work?
So essentially, the sour candy is just one way to reset your nervous system.
Really?
Taste buds.
Yeah. Like, for example, like the 4-5-6 breathing technique or any other breathing technique can help reset that nervous system.
Boy, we're going to give Barn a lot of business. Now, they got lots of sour candy. I've never heard that. Well, I wonder if it's the same for public speaking.
It takes away jitters. I would try it.
Okay. Boys, you know, I wasn't expecting this. Scrunching your toes, sour candy. These are interesting tools. Listeners, I tell you, they're going to be calling in and going, I never heard of that either. Sour candies. Hey, Gwen, whether it's online or face-to-face, are there any particular attitudes or soft skills? Jessica mentioned that a bit earlier, soft skills. Are there any of these that, in a general sense, employers are looking for when they're meeting candidates for the first time that we may not be aware of?
Yes, there are several attitudes and soft skills that employers are looking for when meeting their candidates for the first time. And these qualities often signal the potential to succeed and in their role and align with the company's culture. Remember, all of the moments from before the interview, during the interview, and even after the interview are important. So some of those traits that are sought after is that positive attitude. If you're going into an interview grumpy, it doesn't set the right mood. Be able to communicate. So the doesn't showcase that you're ready. Be able to adapt. As we know, we need to be ready to learn multiple tasks all at once in a job because that is what our employers are going to seeking. They want someone that is flexible, that they can depend on. It's a huge problem right now where the dependability that companies have on their employees, people aren't showing up. So if you can be dependable and prove that in an interview, I'm always at work early. I don't really take sick days because I think it's important for the company and working. Kind of boost your ease at getting the job. Problem solving and working in a team. How do we showcase these traits? So from our body language, as soon as we enter, that eye contact, the smile, the firm handshake, the straight posture, in the preparation. So researching the company, it really does show an interest in what you're going into and knowing the job title, using that wonderful kind of job ad and jumping off of it, pulling those key elements out of it. use-specific experiences and stories that showcase those skills such as problem-solving and dependability. And also ask a question at the end of the interview to show that you're curious and engaged. Don't leave it a one-way street. Really, hey, what about this about the company? What does your typical workday look like? What does people in your company dress? What is the dress code? Those small things really do show your engagement, and they kind of pushes you out and makes you different than everyone else. So it kind of puts you in the right mindset to showcase and add your potential to the workplace.
Oh, the soft skills. I think they've always been underestimated, right? Like, I really like how they say it. I don't, maybe there's an equivalent in English, but I really like the savoir faire, savoir être in French. I just think it says it all. You know, you can know how to do something, but if you don't know how to be, you know, as a responsible, hardworking, dependable person, it just kind of all falls apart. So I'm glad you mentioned some of those. Super, super important. Hey, we're going to continue with a bit more music here. This is called Good People, and it's a song by Jack Johnson.
Show now, so what's it gonna be? 'Cause people will tune in. How many train wrecks do we need to see before we lose touch? Oh, and we thought this was low. Well, it's bad, getting worse. So where'd all the good people go? I've been changing channels, I don't see them on the TV shows. Where'd all the good people go? We got heaps and heaps of what we saw. They got this and that with a rattle attack test and one, two, man, what you gonna do? Bad news, misuse, got too much to lose. Give me some truth now, whose side are we on? Whatever you say, turn on the boob tube, I'm in the mood to obey, so lead me astray. And by the way now, where'd all the good people go? I've been changing channels, I don't see them on the TV shows. Where'd all the good people go? We got heaps and heaps of what we sow. Far away, so far away, but I can feel the debris. Can you feel it? You interrupt me from a friendly conversation to tell me how great it's all gonna be. You might notice some hesitation, 'cause it's important to you, it's not important to me. Of your horizon, well, it's beginning to show, and all I really want to know is where'd all the good people go? I've been changing channels, I don't see them on the TV shows. Where'd all the good people go? We got heaps and heaps of what we sow. They got this and that with a rattle attack test. Then one, two, man, what you gonna do? Bad news, misuse. Give me some truth, you got too much to lose. Who's all the good people today? Anyway, okay, whatever you say. Wrong or resolute, but in the mood to obey. Station to station, desensitizing the nation. Where'd all the good people go?
this morning, all I had was gone. Late over the evening, man, I feel like I'm going home. Woke up this morning, all I had was gone. Woke up this morning, feet around for my shoes. All I had, babe, them old walking blues. Woke up this morning, I feel around for my shoes. All I had, babe, ooh, Lord, them old walking blues. The blinds, I've been mistreated. I don't mind dying this morning. If I had to go ride the blind, I've been mistreated. Ooh, Lord, I don't mind dying.
That was Good People by Jack Johnson, after which we heard Eric Clapton's Walkin' Blues. Welcome back to About Townshipers on CIDI 99.1 FM, and now we're on CJMQ 88.9 FM. And our guests today are Gwen Galvin-Goujon and Jessica Girard, and they're with us to talk about how we can prepare for a stellar interview and do a stellar interview. Super important parts of life and of, you know, integrating ourselves into a new career or the first time in the job market. So we're really glad to have them with us. And is there anything employers don't want to see or hear?
Well, I find that it depends a lot on the employer. Like, it may vary from one employer to the next. But generally speaking, some of the things that employers don't want to see or hear include, one, being arrogance. So I'd suggest discussing your skills and accomplishments in a straightforward manner. Two, avoiding eye contact. You should avoid looking down or refusing to meet their eyes. Three, arriving late to the interview. And four, actually, you know, arriving too early. So like Gwen mentioned, 10, 15 minutes early would be a great goal. Lying, so it could result in several things, such as termination. Fidgeting, like Gwen mentioned, scrunching your toes is a way to, you know, get around that. It's non-visible and allows you to use up that kinetic energy, as you said earlier, Ed. Showing a lack of accountability for mistakes that you may have made in the past, but also checking the time during the interviews.
Also, when you're there and you're looking at your watch and they're asking you a question and, yeah, it doesn't surely... Whenever anybody does that, even in a social atmosphere, sometimes it kind of, I'm thinking, what, do you got other stuff to do? You got more important things to do? Okay, very clear. Jessica, it's easy to think that once we have left the interview, once it's all done, you know, we wipe the sweat off our brow and that's it. And then we just wait. What should come after an interview, or what should we do
What I think is important to do is to jot down important elements from the interview and jot down those elements as in like things that you may have said, things that were discussed, with whom you talked. So if you, for example, if you're in an interview with several people, jotting down information for the different individuals that you met and having those business cards so you can afterwards send a thank you letter that is personalized to that person. So, and ideally, your thank you letter is short and sweet, sent soon after the interview. And it can include, ideally, a thank you message. You can reiterate your interest for the position. It can include any questions you have about the position, something that you may have forgotten to mention during the interview, and anything that you may have had in common and that was mentioned during the interview.
So it's really a way to tie the bow on the interview and to show once again that you're the perfect person for the position and that you're professional and appreciative. So that goes a long way in anything exactly. In life. You know, whenever I get a thank you note, an email or a written card from someone, it just kind of warms the cockles of my heart when I get that. And I'm sure it has a positive effect on employers as well.
Exactly. 100% agree.
Well, as we head into the kind of the end of this really interesting discussion on mastering the interview, if people are looking for help with their interview process, they're excited about it, but they're a bit nervous and they don't really know how to start and how to prepare for this first meeting with a potential employer, what resources do you guys suggest and how can they reach out to your team for support?
Both programs and school support system for employability offer tools that are tailored to you. So this really does allow you to practice and prep. If you do not come see us, which we do suggest because we're awesome and we are really going to help you succeed. However, if you choose not to, Google can be your best friend. YouTube, AI, right? The artificial intelligence aspect, ChatGPT, putting the employment that you're looking for with interview questions allows you to prep, but come to us. We're the best ones.
And there's a lot of information out there, right? So, and we do our research. We're going to be able to give you that information that is adjusted and that is important for you.
That's always the feeling I get and what I hear from you guys and the other members of your team during these interviews is that it's a very personalized and very complete approach to supporting individuals when they're making important decisions, heading into a new career, going from school into study or vice versa. These are all really important elements to keep in mind. And that's what's exciting about this series is between now and the end of the school year up to June, we're going to be meeting with you on several occasions to talk about other things related to the job market and employment and all that. So Gwen Galvin-Goujon, you're a teacher in the English Conversation and SVI departments. And Jessica Girard, you are guidance counselor at JobLinks. And you both kind of work on the umbrella of Etage and their related employment services. You, as I mentioned, you and other members of your team will be with us on a monthly basis for the next 5 months or so to talk about everything related to employment. So, hey, thanks for popping in.
Don't forget, you can reach us by joining us at New Horizons Adult Education Center on Galt Street in Sherbrooke, or by calling to make an appointment with one of our secretaries to learn more about our programs and our services we offer. The number that you can call is 1-833-621-0766, or you can just Google New Horizons Adult Education, and it will bring you to our adult learning website, which has both services available to you.
See, there you go. When we kicked off the show, I asked you guys to keep me on my toes. And Gwen, you just did. Thanks for sharing that important contact information with our listeners. So Gwen and Jessica, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, probably.
In about a couple of weeks. See you soon.
See you then.
Well, you've been listening to About Townshippers, and you can hear us Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. on CIDI 99.1 FM. And you can also catch us on CGMQ 88.9 FM, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 4 p.m. And as usual, I'd like to do a big shout out to Yvon Grandin, who is our technician and editor. Thank you, sir, for all the great things you do. And you can hear Yvon on his own show, The Ivan Hour, 60 minutes of pure classic rock, and that plays on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. on CIDI 99.1 FM. And really quickly, I want to mention it's important and it's fun and it's, hey, I'm just trying to say, you got to listen to The Drive at 5 with Daniel Coulombe every Friday from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. on CGMQ 88.9 FM and on CIDI. There's sports, weekly news, interviews, stories from Bohemi Sisqua and from all over the townships. So with that, friends and listeners, my name was, it is, and I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure it's going to remain Ed Humphrey. This has been About Townshippers. See you next time.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. Get my lovin' on the run. Shake your tree. Lovey dovey, lovey dovey, lovey dovey all the time. Ooh, baby, I sure show you a good time. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my lovin' on the run. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. Talking about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, don't worry, no, don't worry, mama. 'Cause I'm right here at home. You're the cutest thing I ever did see. Really love your peaches, wanna shake your tree. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey all the time. Come on, baby, now show you a good time.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know